It's not left in doubt. It's not left to human guesses, human theories, human schemes, but its own outline. We need to be very careful to follow it. Not to devise our own or some other clever scheme. We shall note carefully exactly what he said in the Greek. We need to be very careful. And then follow it literally. It's not what I think is the scheme of the book. Know what somebody else thought. It's what did Jesus tell John to write? John says there are three parts to his revelation. Jesus said to John, there are three parts to his revelation. And it's sent to the seven churches of Asia Minor. All the post-trips, partial raptures, and amillennialists, along with the historical interpreters, try to rob this verse of any real sense. I've had them in class. I remember one young man in particular. We'll mention him a number of times. I won't mention his name. But he was a post-tribulationary rapture. He tried his best to destroy any kind of argument for it at all, and didn't have any for, against the pre-trib rapture. Then he tried his best to find something to help him on the other, but he never had anything. I don't know really of one good proof for the rapture of the church anywhere else except at the beginning of the tribulation. I don't know of one. In Prophecy 1, we took three or four purported proofs. They're very foolish. One of the ones they use mostly is, of course, the wrong interpretation of the book of Revelation. Helps a lot. Ignoring this text and try to explain it away. But they say, they quote the scripture, in this world you shall have tribulation. They don't differentiate between the tribulation that all saints have and the great tribulation which no church saint will have. God has not appointed us under wrath, but to obtain salvation. Churches have tribulation for 2,000 years, as our brother was quoting this morning. We've never been in the great tribulation. It's a very unique period of time. If you'll read carefully, most of them you'll find they try to ruin this verse by making it a meritocracy. I grant you that the Greek can make it possible if they use some other text. The word kai, K-A-I, and, separates these three clauses. And it can be translated either way, as a conjunction or an apposition, A-P-P, apposition, not opposition, but apposition, which means adding something to what went on before. It can either be translated and, a conjunction, or even. Even. It is so translated a number of times in the Bible. I want to grant them this. It can be, and they say, write the things which thou sawest even, the things which are even, the things which shall be hereafter. It's kind of a tautology. Well, it doesn't make much sense. To me, anyhow. Like that. I believe and here is a conjunction. Show you why as we go along. There are three times that use the different word things, right? The things which are sown, the things which are, the things which shall be hereafter. And I'll show you that hereafter is not a good translation at all of metatata in the Greek. Not so translated several times in the Bible. Now notice the first clause. Write, therefore. I'm sorry the Authorized Version leaves this word therefore out. Almost all the texts that I read after have it in. One or two or three Greek texts do not have it. But most all of the Greek texts do. I was looking up again last night, just for the fun of it, every real Greek authority that I have, and they all put it in. It's not in the Authorized Version, but I believe it ought to be because it refers back to verse 18. Right, therefore, the things which thou sawest. Because he saw them, and then the precious statement of the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 18, I am he that liveth. I am the living one. And I became dead. And behold, I am living. Forevermore have the keys of death and Hades. Therefore, write. I believe it ought to be in there. The things which are. I mean, the things which are seen first. This is the vision of chapter 1 of the glorified Son of God. That's the things which thou sawest. Look at verse 19, or 20. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest. Same word. In my right hand. Look at verse 12. I saw seven golden lampstands. There's no doubt that this first vision is chapter 1. The vision of the glorified Son of God and all the attending things. The descriptions of him, what he said, and his appearance. Write the things which thou have seen. And the things which are, the verb to be, existing things. To me, there's no doubt at all that that's chapters 2 and 3. The things in John's day, until God changes the program. We are still living in the things which are. They were in John's day. They were in Martin Luther's day. We're in Christ's day. Until the rapture. We're still in the church dispensation. God hasn't changed his hope, changed his program. It started on the day of Pentecost and ends in the rapture. That's the things which are. Exactly why he gave chapters 2 and 3. To describe these things which are the seven churches to whom this whole book of Revelation was sent. Write in a book and send to the seven churches. You see why these seven. Another reason why they have to be seven successive eras within the church. But the one that gives the most trouble, of course, why they try to change everything, is the last clause. The Authorized Version says, and the things which shall be hereafter. I want you to notice a number of things here from the big text. The verb is in the plural. Verb to be. It was the things in John's day, notice the things which shall be is made up of two Greek words. Genestai, G-E-N-E-S-T-H-A-I, Genestai, G-E-N-E-S-T-H-A-I, it means to occur or to transpire. Translated shall be here, but it should be transpire. Genestai. The second word is melai, M-E-L-L-E-I. It occurs 13 times in Revelation. And about 90 or 95% of the time, it's ignored by the Authorized Version. That's strange. It's every Greek text. No problem with this one at all, melai. And melai always means, in the original, about you on the point of. About to or on the point of. Now let me read it. Later it says about to or on the point of. It's there. Greek question. He said, write the things which are on the very point of transpiring. That's not a paraphrase. It's a literal translation of melai genestai. Write, drakon, write the things which are on the very point of transpiring. Now let's see when it's going to transpire. The Authorized Version says hereafter. That is not a good translation at all of Melchizedek. And it ruins the sense. I'll show you this as we go along. Meditata, always carries the idea of when something else is through and done with. That would be the things which are. Let me give you a literal translation and then we'll prove it. And write the things which are on the very point of transpiring when the things which are, that's to be paraphrasing, of course, the things which are through and done with. Metatonic can't mean anything else. I'll prove it in this very book. Turn with me to the 20th chapter, where we have metatonic again. A number 13 times in this book. Of course, 10 times in the book, 7 times in Greek divisions, at least to say. It occurs 13 times. Another thought occurs 13 times in the book. I think 10 times. I'll get it right. I get my mind here. 7 times in Greek divisions. We shall see in 4:1, where it occurs twice in one verse. Turn to chapter 20. And I'll start reading at verse 2. This is the close of the millennial, the beginning of the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus. And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the keys to the bottomless pit, that's verse 1, the great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, after the 1,000 years are finished, the devil wasn't used all through the 1,000 years, he was bound. It's M-E-T-A, meta, two words. And then tauta, T-A-U-T-A. T-A-U-T-A. Metatata. Here, the meaning is very clear. It isn't until the 1,000 years are all finished and done with, then that'll come. After these things are through, then Satan is used for a little piece and about deceiving the nations. They can't be deceiving them all through 1,000 years. It has to be done. We'll probably give you a couple of three other texts. For instance, in the Gospel, it occurs a number of times. For instance, we read, after 6 days, the word after there is not done. It doesn't mean all through the 6 days, but after the 6 days are over. I think I've got some more here in the notes than many of them. Time wouldn't permit me to take, go through all of them. Christ is saying unto John, I want you to write down in this book the vision you saw in chapter 1. Things you saw. Then I want you to write the things which are in existence right now, things that are, the state of being, until I change the program. And then I want you to write the things which are on the very point of transpiring. Show you how important this point of transpiring is. This word melah. Melah means sometimes various points, declensions. But on the very point of transpiring, after the things which are have changed and approved. Remember, just as soon, I believe there will be in time at all between the rapture and the starting of the tribulation period, as far as the setting up of the Antichrist kingdom and all these things, I believe, since the end's going to be with a flood. I don't believe there's going to be a great long hiatus. I believe the rapture's going to take place, and then that 7 years are going to be. Immediately, the last week of Daniel's 70-week prophecy, Christ was crucified on the 69th week. 1 week is an obeyance. When the Messiah was crucified, he was rejected by the Messiah, and God's time clock stopped. But just as soon as the church is raptured, that clock starts speaking. That last week of 7 years, or that bad year. Now, that's why I want that word melai. M-E-L-L-E-I, in the Greek, the Authorized Version ignores it completely as it usually does. How do we hear it in Revelation? I don't know why. I think they thought that it was included in the verb. Therefore, it need not to be translated. But it should be, very emphatic. Or that about to transpire after the other things are through and done with. It's very necessary for the whole outline of the book. Let's look at just a little bit of it before we pass on. Look at Acts 15 where the same word is used. I mean, the same two words. Acts 15, 14 through 16. Here you see exactly what that kind of means. Acts 15, 14 through 16. Simeon hath declared unto you how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to call out a people for his name, Melchizedek. Afterwards, he shall return to rebuild the tabernacle of David, which is God's done. In other words, God's not going to return to rebuild the tabernacle of David as long as the church is done. Here's where you've got to have a presentation of that. God is still visiting the Gentiles, isn't he? We're still in the program, the things that are. And it will be to the rapture. And God will not graft the tame branch back into the vine as long as the church is there. Wow. He just will not graft. God is visiting the Gentiles. All the people. The church is Jesus Christ. In no time, after his birth. Completely. Thunder. Rapture. On the way. Then he'll return to rebuild the tabernacle of David. That time is very important then. Look at 4:1 of the book of Revelation. After the seven messages to the seven churches are all through and done with, and Laodicea has been spewed out of his mouth. Now look, Metatonic. 4:1 starts. Metatonic. After this, after I'm through with the things which are, after I'm through with the church dispensation, then notice, I looked and beheld a door opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as words of a trumpet, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be. Let us come. After the things which are through. Then, of course, chapter 4, when he looked, he saw the throne of the dedication set up in mid-heaven, moved, as Daniel 7 shows, from the third heaven down into position over the earth. I have no doubt invisible to earth, but in juxtaposition to the earth. I like the term, I found that he's not the only one who used it, but William R. Newell used it in the book, the throne of its dedication, where justice is dispensed, not dispensed with, as an hour, but dispensed. And Jesus takes a little book from the hands of him that sits above the throne, and then begins his judgment ministry. But seven great times in the book, you can look them up, they're in 4:1, 7:1, 7:9, 9:12, 15:5, 18:1, and 19:1. These are great divisions. The expression occurs three other times, like we saw twice in the first chapter. Fourth chapter, first verse. I'll give these again. These are great divisions in the book. Metatonic. After this was through, or this vision was all through, then I saw again. Like in chapter 1, chapter 7, verse 1, Metatonic, he saw the 144,000 with 12,000 out of each tribe of Israel, the saved of Israel during the tribulation period, in a special group. 144,000. But then in verse 9, he gets another metatata to see the Gentile converts in the tribulation period. Out of every nation, tribe, and tongue. And the angel tells him who they are, and these are they that come out of the great tribulation period. Tribulation, which is the great one. Wash their robes bright in the blood of the Lamb. They shall follow the Lamb with us to every Jordan. God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. So 4:1 is the next time that Metatonic occurs. Twice in the version. 7:1 is another great division, and 7:9. 9:12, for a unique reason, is to separate the last four trumpets from the first three. Woe. Woe trumpets. 15:5. Bring a new view of the seven bowl of judgment. We make a brand new indication. 18:1, which was to separate literal Babylon from mystery Babylon. And then 19:1, which is very important, is to introduce the revelation of Jesus Christ from heaven. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Yes. No. You'll see they're not chronological. The revelation is not chronological. It's logical, but not chronological. It's recurrent. The Holy Spirit goes back and covers the same territory with a new type of subject. When we come to the chart, you'll see that on that very graphically. We did not give the chart this way. We gave the chart this way. During the last half of the tribulation period. For it is not chronological. And it is not parenthetical. Scofield will give you that in his outline. Of course, that's what I took, and that's what William R. Newell followed. In fact, every book that I've got, except one written by Victor Menius, and I've only got a few verses of his in existence, in the third century, where he gave the law of the church. I'll quote to you later. Be on your chart. Now, in the time left, we'll call your attention to this in chapter 4, 1 again. But in, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 2, we are in the things which are the church dispensation. Existing in John's day and had been in existence for about 60 years when he wrote this book. John was an old man. He lived to be about 100 or 105. It had been 60 years, probably when he wrote this book, or 65. You notice most of them put 95 or 96. It's probably pretty accurate in writing Revelation. Or Domitian was on the throne, and he put his very accurate, Tacitus and quite a few of the Roman historians, they're very accurate. We don't have much trouble with Revelation as far as tracing it and his banishment to the Isle of Patmos because of Domitian being on the throne. We're going to go speedily through these seven messages because really there's no problem here. There's a wealth. I'd like to spend several months on these seven messages. Yes.
I was talking to someone the other day, and they told me something that I'd like to use to speak. Okay?
I love to speak.
I know it's pretty odd, I know it's bad. But they told me that the doctrine of pre-tribulation rapture, as it were, was about 150 years old, has just been preaching.
That's pretty wrong. It's 2,000 years old. Paul was a pre-tribulation rapture. So was John.
But
down
through the years, the preachers of our forefathers
were preachers. In the Middle Ages, most everybody became amillennialists. They didn't even believe in a rapture. They didn't even believe in a tribulation period. They didn't believe in a personal Antichrist. The Pope was the Antichrist. This is the historical interpretation of Revelation, you see. Therefore, none of this was literal. It just all spiritual and figurative and allegorical and jump in and you guess because everybody's guess is different and nobody's guess is worth anything. There's what's wrong with their interpretation of the book. The whole early church looked for the imminent coming of Jesus Christ. You can't read the New Testament without seeing this. In fact, they've been criticized. Some have said, well, Paul couldn't be inspired if he believed Christ was coming at any time and he hadn't come in 2,000 years. They missed the whole idea of God keeping the day and the hour in his own power. So that for 2,000 years, the church should have been on tiptoes of expectancy, even as we are now. I pity any Christian today who isn't looking for the end of the coming of Jesus Christ. I know I looked for him to come for the last 50 years. More than that. Almost about 55 years, I actually believe in the imminent coming of Jesus Christ. Every preacher that preached in our tabernacle at that time used to preach on the coming of Jesus. It thrilled my heart. Sometimes it scared me half to death. I told him approximately one. Now, my dad was always setting dates, and he got so graphic with it until he scared almost my little pants off from it. I began to buy every dime I could get a hold of. I went and bought some canned goods and hit him under the house, right from out of the cupboard. And a storehouse, I wouldn't want to starve if anybody else did. But finally, I had to bring the stuff out. Because the Lord didn't come right when my dad preached anyway. This does not detract from the imminent coming of Jesus Christ. I thank God for the anchor that I've had in my soul for the last great number of years. 55, a little over 55 years, really. Because I've been able to look for his imminent coming, and he's 55 years nearer, he's 2,000 years nearer than the early church was born. But there are signs multiplying to me that fill my soul. He might not come for 100 years. I might go out in a box instead of in glory. I might get the undertaker instead of the uptaker, as they say. But I don't look for it. I did almost 13 and a half years ago. I thought, sure, I was going to be with the Lord. But the Lord didn't let me go. But I want you to know this. I'm not a bit discouraged about the whole thing. For I see more signs today than 13 years ago, as far as I'm concerned. Even the wickedness of man, evildoers wax worse and worse, Paul says in the last days. Confirms. It's getting more and more dangerous to live on this earth. We've got to be looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have named most of these. Some I've borrowed from others. Some I've just attached to them. Maybe somebody suggested them. I don't know. But I'm going to go very speedily through these seven messages to the churches. I want to first, at least in this class, give you the three methods of interpreting these seven messages. And all three are right. These three. Not the amillennialists, not the post-trib, not so many others, but I want to give you three true interpretations, I believe, of these seven messages. They are seven actual, literal churches in Asia Minor when John wrote. He said there were seven actual churches. So there were seven actual churches. Second, I could give you many proofs of each one of these assertions, by the way, and you probably will mention them again. In line with 1:3, this being a book of prophecy, these are seven conditions in every age. That's the second one. I believe this. I believe the church has always had these seven conditions. They were seven conditions in John's day. And I believe for the last 3,000 years, the church has always had these seven conditions. I believe we've got all seven today. Now, not apostolic, but the condition in Ephesus. We do have today, and my name for Epson is Frozen Fundamentalism. I call them God's Frozen Assets. They are frozen. Well, this is a church that is orthodox and frozen to death. They relax their first love. I'll show you that very briefly in the next lesson, but we've got evidence today. We've got a martyr church today. Do you know that? There's a martyr church on earth. You don't believe it. You go to some parts of the earth and see saints dying for Jesus. They're dying in Russia for Christ. They're dying in China for Christ. They're dying in the islands of the sea. They're dying in South America. They're dying in Africa for Jesus Christ. Jesus tarries long enough, we may be candidates. I've never prayed for dying grace because I've never had to die for Christ yet, but I know this. His grace is sufficient. Well, I've got to die for him. Can't you be afraid? I'm not praying for dying grace, but I am praying for living grace. So on and so forth. But now one more in closing. These are also seven successive eras in the church. There are seven reasons for this. These seven messages remarkably parallel church history. Remarkably. Second, the last four belong to the coming of Jesus. Philadelphia, Sardis, and Laodicea all have a threat or a warning or a promise of his coming. Rather, I should say, Thyatira, Sardis, and Philadelphia have a promise of his coming, while Laodicea being the last one would naturally go if we're right. There it is. There's a special promise in the last true church, Philadelphia, 3:10, of the rapture. Because you've kept the words of my patience, I will keep you. We'll have to go try to live with us. We'll get that again. I want to give you the rest of these seven reasons why I believe that these are prophetic. Seven eras. There was the Catholic Church, there was the Martyr Church, there was the State Church, there was the Catholic Church, the great Scarlet Woman, the Fat Fathers, and so on. The two brothers. I'll give them over again why there are seven successive eras in the church. I think those seven will help us all understand. God must have had a plan like this. They weren't just given for a little local coloring in the seven churches of Asia Minor. They have a message for me. But I think I'm a member of the Philadelphia Church. I'll show you why.